Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
Welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, that is me, along with Captain Patrick in the studio. And rumors are that we might be joined by some additional crew members today that we haven't seen in a while.
Because they fell overboard about 8 months ago, and we're finally turning the ship around and heading back to port.
We didn't turn the ship around. They just kind of drifted in the current, and we ended up crossing paths again, it looks like. So it's purely by chance, but we'll see if it works out.
Yeah.
I was given the coordinates.
I'm not holding out too much hope.
And already we have misjudged the timing. So I put that on Captain Patrick. But we'll see how that unfolds as we progress through the latest boating news and information. However, we do have Barry the Boater with us. Barry, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you both doing?
We are swell. I am.
Fantastic.
I can speak for Patrick.
Yeah, please don't.
Are you good? Are you feeling all right?
I am disturbed by your pre-show music.
It was a little rough today.
I'm telling you, man.
That was Firepower by Judas Priest.
I felt like I was back like 1982 at Lakeland Civic Center listening to Dokken and Dio.
Fresh metal, my friends.
You know what?
That's what this world needs
less of?
That's rusty metal.
Fresh metal.
Really?
Yeah, because Trump just put a tariff on it. So.
Well, that is a possibility. But yeah, the new Judas Priest Firepower.
And
you know,
guess
I'm fired up.
It sounds just like the old Judas Priest.
Yeah,
they haven't changed in 40 years.
Rock and roll! Yeah, all right.
The growth of that band is not impressive.
Well, there's only like two original guys.
I don't care.
Maybe three, but who cares? Yeah. Anyway, moving on to boating stuff. You know, what inspired you to get in boating, Patrick? I need to ask you this. We have some props set up in the studio, and I should explain, because we're doing Facebook Live, and people are going to tune in today, and they're going to see they're going to see a props as well as me behind the microphone today.
Okay, so what inspired me to get into boating?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I hadn't told this story before... which I'm pretty sure I have, but you probably weren't paying attention. So we'll see how much you retain this time around. When I grew up close to the coast up in New Jersey. I was born in New Jersey, and my mom moved my brother, my sisters, myself down to Merritt Island when I was about 12.
Okay, I was looking for like a 30-second answer, but go ahead.
Not nice. He's not nice today.
No, that's the metalhead coming out in me. You know, we're anxious. Fired up.
Our house was
fresh from the mosh pit.
Was in Merritt Island on the Banana River.
Okay.
My grandparents' house was in Cocoa Beach on the Banana River. We were basically by the 528 Causeway. They were over by the 520 Causeway.
Okay.
So at an early age there, I fell in love with surfing, but I didn't have any way to really get to the beach. Riding a bike with a surfboard over the Causeway Bridge was not really advisable. Plus, by the time you got there, you're probably too tired to surf.
Mm.
So I got my hands on a boat with an old outboard engine.
Yeah.
And since I couldn't legally drive, and since Florida at that time didn't have any age restrictions on boating, I would put my surfboard in my little 16-foot aluminum-hulled boat, crank up the outboard, head across the Banana River over to my grandparents' house, dock behind their house, walk across A1A, go surfing for the day, come back, jump in their pool, jump back in the boat, head back across the river. When my mom got remarried, then I had my hands on a 21-foot Aquasport walk around Cuddy. So then I was kind of all over the place. Then it wasn't just going over to the Cocoa Beach side to dock behind her house. Then it was going through the locks and traveling down the coast to some really good surf spots, anchoring off the beach, and then going surfing with friends.
I'm not sure you've told this story before.
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Well,
so that's kind of how I fell in love with it.
I don't remember.
I knew a lot about boats and about running boats. I didn't know a lot about building boats until I got into the manufacturing end at the very early age of 18. Let me finish the story.
Well, no, I just want to make sure I understand this. Surfing is what inspired you to boat.
Surfing inspires me in everything.
Okay, well, there you go. That's fine.
The boating was a necessary invention so he could go surfing.
Yeah,
that's easy for you to say.
Yeah, means to an end. Yeah, and you know, it's kind of the same with me with scuba diving, and which could lead to boating.
I thought yours was a tax dodge.
No, wasn't that. it goes back to what we're showing on Facebook Live today. A little canister or mini aquarium of sea monkeys.
I thought that was your urine sample.
Nope.
You got the sea monkeys?
I got sea monkeys. You know, we were talking about them last week. Barry the Boater was on Scuba Radio, and at the end of it, I don't know, sea monkeys got brought up as like, you know, many divers are inspired by, you know, Lloyd Bridges and Sea Hunt or, you know, even I credit the movie The Abyss. But it got brought up, and I was like, gosh, when I was a real little kid, I had sea monkeys. And maybe subliminally, you know, sea monkeys planted that seed of wanting to go live in the underwater environment.
By the way, The Abyss, second best James Cameron movie.
Under what? Huh? Which was the first? Which one?
It's kind of a tie between Aliens and Terminator.
Okay, well, Aliens is not James Cameron.
Yes, it is.
Aliens was...
James Cameron.
It was Ripley. I thought it was... Are you sure?
Ripley's the character.
Aliens, with an S, was James Cameron.
He was James Cameron. He was the second one?
Alien was Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott. That's who I meant. Okay. So you think that's... Okay. Well, that's a whole nother thing. I would agree with you on Terminator. I'm not sure about Aliens. But whatever.
Are you insane, man?
Yes, of course. Haven't you been listening? Anyway, and I go back to sea monkeys. Does that, I pretty much, you know.
Well, they are aliens.
They are a man-made life form, yeah.
What's amazing is they come to you in a little tri packet. You open it up, put it in the water, and they all of a sudden come alive.
Yeah, and so today on our Scuba Radio show, we are actually going to create life. And maybe we will inspire others to, you know, explore a profession either on or above the water. You know, you say surfing. I mean, did you have sea monkeys when you were a kid?
No, because I was rational insane as a child.
You were rationally insane? Is that what he just said?
Rational and sane. And sane. Not insane. And sane.
Says
I could see how I see how you could confuse them.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that's what you see. You see the props that we have up on Facebook Live here at the World of Boating Facebook page. On the live video feed, you will see the aquarium for what soon will be filled with sea monkeys.
Did you let the water sit overnight?
Like yes, of course. Okay. It's been prepping. That's what it's
you
been.
You followed the instructions.
I've read the instructions 1, 2, 3, and we're going to have 2 happen a little later on our scuba show today. And where you're going to create life live on the radio.
Let me point out to you a couple things. Right. 1, The Simpsons already did this. 2, South Park already did this as an homage to The Simpsons.
Yeah, okay. So what's your point?
It's already been done.
It hasn't been done on the radio.
Greg's gonna do it.
Well, because radio brings so much more to it than an animated show.
Hello, yes. We have not done this. We are going to create life. And
I heard our special guest is here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
It was just texted.
Well, I think...
said, open the studio door, damn it.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure if he's a special guest or he's just special. But, he may join us. We'll see if that happens here momentarily.
Now, if he can get past security. They haven't seen him in so long.
The reason he's showing up, by the way, is the sea monkeys. I believe that's what I was informed.
Oh, I can't wait till he talks to you about sea monkeys.
Well, he's a walking encyclopedia, and I would imagine he has plenty of background information on sea monkeys. If not, I have...
You made up.
No, I have the instructions. It came with a whole book.
Greg, just make sure CJ doesn't drink from that container.
Good point. We're going to have to keep our drunken sailor away from...
That's right.
From that container.
No, we just put it right in here.
That would be good. Yeah, we have an empty bottle of mermaid rum. We could pour the sea monkeys in that. That would have been a better container now that you mention it.
Really, it would have.
That would have been that. Maybe once we
you're going to destroy them all and toss them into a bottle of rum?
No, we're not going to. We're going to grow them. We're going to release them and make them come to life, and then we can put them in the mermaid rum, and they will live happily ever after.
But don't wash the remnants of the rum out of the bottle.
Well, we just got to make sure no one...
Because there's nothing better than drunk sea monkeys.
Well, what I'm afraid of, if we put it in that bottle, in that container, you know, they'll get drunk.
So if you ever wanted the answer to how many drunk sea monkeys could you fit in a bottle of rum, stay tuned.
Yes, it can happen. So all this are things of what inspired you to get into boating. Me, sea monkeys. Patrick, it was surfing. Barry the boater, are you
summer
more...
Summer camp.
It was summer camp?
Yeah, I went to a day camp. It was on Biscayne Bay, and they had a little boating program. And like Captain Patrick did, I went out on little putt-putt boats.
Little putt-putt. Mine wasn't little a putt-putt Shriner. Boat, thank you.
Little Shriner of boating was Barry the Boater back in the day, and that inspired him into what he is now. God help us. More coming up.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters, you know there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water, but what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Batten down the hatches. Aye, aye, sir. Mend the bowsprit. Stow the mizzen mast. Jibe the jib boom. Hoist the mainsail and lower the tattersail. Look sharp, man. Pipe the starboard hatch to leeward. Thwart and trim the scuppers of the port poop deck.
I'm sitting on a boat. I'm paying on my dollars. Waiting for the U-turn. Oh, I'm sitting on a boat.
This is the World of Boating. Gregor, first mate, that's me, along with Captain Patrick, Barry the Boater, and yes.
Wait.
In the flesh.
No.
He's not in the flesh.
No.
He's in spirit only.
You had asked the previous segment for Barry and I,
right?
How we got into boating. And
right.
Before
what
you
inspired
announce,
you to get into boating?
Before you announce who our very special guest is.
Yeah.
I know how he got into boating.
You do?
Yeah. You see, he was at a Boy Scout camp up in the Northeast. I believe it was probably Massachusetts.
Mm.
And there was, of Massachusetts of all places, a tornado that came up. He happened to be out in a canoe at the time, and the winds were so strong, it propelled him to New Hampshire.
Wow.
Then he had to navigate his way back. He had no choice but to learn how to boat.
So it was he was inspired to boat.
He was inspired
to
live.
Survive. And that would bring us to, yes, Bill the engineer is here.
I hate to talk about just how accurate his description is.
Yeah.
I actually did become a boater at Boy Scout camp.
See?
Yeah.
And there was a tornado.
See?
And, like, honest to goodness, there are so few tornadoes in Massachusetts that we refer to them by the year that they happened.
Okay. The tornado of 77.
This was the tornado of 79.
Yeah.
August 10th, 1979.
Right.
And we had aluminum canoes that were upside down, laid across logs, and they got picked up and carried about a quarter of a mile and wrapped around trees 20 feet off the ground.
See, my description was fairly accurate.
Yeah. Fairly accurate, but that's not how I learned to boat. That was just a thing which happened with boats. So at Boy Scout camp, I learned to sail sunfish sailboats.
Yeah.
I learned to canoe. I learned to rowboat. I learned to kayak. And I managed to sink a kayak.
Uh-huh. Now, in that storm, was it
plastic ones that don't sink?
No, these were plastic ones that don't sink. Those are the ones.
Before the era of plastic, these would have been made out of concrete.
It was a PVC kayak, and somebody else's boat went over the bow of my boat and made a hole in it, and it filled up with water.
Wow. That doesn't sound
good.
And
then it was a pylon.
What was their boat? What'd they have, like jousting sticks on the front of the bow pulpit?
I think what had happened, because it's kids using them, mm-hmm. I think that they had bumped the end of it and then epoxied the tip of the kayak back on. So when someone else's kayak went over the bow of my kayak, it broke that
piece
off.
A Boy Scout would never repair a kayak like that. They would have carved a new one out of a tree.
That's not true.
That was the tornado of 89?
79.
79. Oh, I believe that was the year that sea monkeys were released into the natural environment as an invasive species, and that's why they were taken off the market for a while.
That's probably not true.
You sure?
Bill, did you have a life jacket on?
Of course I had a life jacket on.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those ones that was filled with wood pulp from the 1930s that more than likely would cause you to drown than save you.
Hmm.
I'm not lying.
He's a real-life boating superhero, Bill the Engineer. I think that's what we've learned.
Actually, we made them ourselves out of newspaper.
Okay.
It was back in the good old days.
All right, Bill. Well, you can leave now. No, we're happy to have you aboard.
I was a boater last weekend.
You were?
Yes, last weekend I went to Legoland.
Okay.
And they have boating school.
Made out of Legos?
It looks like Legos. They're not actually made out of Legos. It's just a little plastic boat with a little outboard motor. Well, actually, it's an inboard.
Hmm.
And
how do you know one made out of Legos, then?
Wait, do you actually get inside this
You
Lego
get inside
boat?
Of this boat. It's not a Lego boat. It is a boat designed to look like Legos.
It's a replica.
It's a fake Lego floating boat.
Yes.
You know, but you could build a boat out of enough Legos.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I would think.
They got kits that do that. But you didn't trust your assembly skills when it comes to Legos. Didn't want to take
that
risk.
It's an attraction. And you wait in line for 20 minutes, and then you get in the boat, and you drive it.
Well, that's kind of lame. I mean, why you would think if it's Legoland that they'd have their boat actually made out of Legos, not a fake Lego boat.
No, because they don't want people to die, Greg.
That's part of the reason.
Well, what's the challenge in that?
The small parts can be a choking hazard.
Don't they know that Bill, that's how he got his start in boating? He risked his life to learn how to boat?
But they could also be a flotation device.
There it is. True. And actually, at the Legoland Resort Hotel, they have a hotel.
Which is made out of Legos.
Which looks for all the world like it's made out of Legos.
Yeah.
In the pool, they have giant Duplo-style blocks that are the flotation devices in the pool.
Nice.
Huh. Okay.
Okay,
it was fun.
Let's use Bill's power of the brain. What was that area before it was Legoland?
It was Cypress Gardens.
Very good.
That's not as hard once you've been there, because it's on Cypress Gardens Boulevard.
Ah.
So once you've been there, it's kind of easy to remember what it was.
They didn't change the name to Legoland Boulevard?
No, it is still Cypress Gardens Boulevard. Or Blivled.
It'd be Choking Hazard Boulevard.
Okay, well, it's good they're trying to indoctrinate our the kids of tomorrow into boating through Legos.
And flying and driving. My daughter has a driver's license now.
Really?
Yes, she's 8.
Okay. I don't know what to think of that, and I think we should just move on.
Yeah, probably smart.
So do we have some boating news that we want to navigate?
There is boating news, and I am so excited that I get to be here live this Saturday.
That is, that's nice.
With Captain Patrick, so I can give all of you the news that makes Captain Patrick happiest, because no news will make Captain Patrick happier than this.
I'm not leaving, Bill.
Let me just say, no sea monkeys were injured during the course of this newscast.
Well, says you, it's not complete yet.
They haven't been born yet.
Yeah.
The Miami Boat Show saw both an attendance increase and strong sales. Now, they don't actually report sales from the boat.
No, heaven forbid.
So they don't have actual numbers for whether or not boating sales increased or not, but anecdotally, there is an increase in sales.
Mm-hmm.
There once was a boat show in Nantucket.
I think it was even more successful this year than it was the year before.
No, it wasn't.
And I know Patrick's excited about
it. It was not more successful. The increase was just shy of 4% in attendance, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But
that's faster than the rate of inflation.
But this year they combined Strictly Sail and the Miami Boat Show. So it's really not factually correct.
I'm not sure that's accurate.
No, it is. That. It's right there.
I don't think you're looking at the numbers correctly.
So yes,
let's look at it. We'll dive into it next. Stay close to the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Billy, Engineer, Barry, the Boater. We got a full crew here as we navigate the latest boating news and information. A little shout out to Pete Saver from Melbourne. He is checking in on the Facebook Live video stream that we have going on, and he's observing our container of sea monkeys.
I like the newspaper his wife puts out. I think her name is Penny.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, Pete, we appreciate it.
8 months, and that's the best you could come up with? 8 friggin' months.
It seems like it was longer.
I thought
not long enough.
I find it quite amusing, Bill. So
there you go.
It's about taking me that long to finish writing the next Scuba Radio Christmas play.
Oh, jeez, I can't wait.
All right.
Yeah, either can Greg.
So we're talking about the Miami International Boat Show numbers. Patrick is saying that because Strictly Sail and the Miami International Boat Show were merged together in one
location. Yeah.
Which really, they weren't really that separated before. It's just that Strictly Sail was over at Bayside.
That's a pretty good separation.
Well,
that's how you get
over to the boat show.
Separated, but you got into both of them with the same ticket.
What I'm saying is, when you combine both into one location, the accessibility is greater. Your numbers are probably going to increase because prior years, not everybody who went to the Miami Boat Show went to Strictly Sail, or people who went to Strictly Sail went to the actual boat show.
I would say that would be extremely rare. Have you been to Strictly Sail, Patrick?
Yes, I have.
So,
when you go down there for the Miami Boat Show?
Huh?
Yeah. When you go down there for the Miami Boat Show?
No.
Oh, you just different times.
Go down there for work.
Okay.
Right, but when you go over to Strictly Sail, they have a small tent or two. It's not a huge layout.
Right.
But most of the people that would go to Strictly Sail would pop over on the ferry and go across the U-Haul.
Yeah, no, they waste that wastes too much time.
But that's actually kind of immaterial.
Barry.
You're welcome.
It's kind of immaterial because they're not counting noses. They're counting tickets.
Right.
And the tickets for the events are the same ticket.
Exactly.
So if you had a 4% increase in tickets, it doesn't matter
if they're in the same place. More people,
it's better for Strictly Sail.
More people may have been inclined to go this year because they were combined in one venue than in years past.
Good thing they did that then.
Yeah, I think it was a win.
Now I'm going to tell you why it wasn't when we come back.
Okay, here we go.
Bring it on, Patrick.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Looks like one ship was saved today. A relationship.
Come sail away. Come sail away. Come sail away with me.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Bill the Engineer, Barry the Boater. All right, the Miami International Boat Show. We've talked about this. Well, we had these numbers a couple weeks ago, actually.
That's all right. We were waiting so that I could just see Patrick's face when we talked about it.
Good
point.
That's why he dressed in black today.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Patrick never believes the numbers that are released from
because
any
they
of the
don't actually give attendance numbers. Their numbers are arbitrary.
Well, they're percentages. It's an increase percentage.
And I disagree with
based
him.
On they're, what? Because they never release the numbers, so you not, have nothing to back it up. They just make stuff up.
They're not arbitrary. They're fictitious. I disagree.
And, you know, the thing is, Miami International Boat Show, the weather was spectacular that weekend, too. There was a lot of other factors that had a tendency, I would say, just as an outside observer, to assume that they were going to have a very good show. The
and
economy's doing a little better. The weather was great.
I'm
there
not,
was no reason why
I'm not saying
they
shouldn't
that
have they a didn't, good and I'm not saying that they didn't have an increase. What I'm saying is the fact that they combined both shows into one venue,
which is smarter,
should not be taken as they actually had an increase. Let's see what happens next year, because this was the first year that you had both shows in one location.
That makes us a better location, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. Well, it makes it a location where they can have both shows. That's a better location.
Here's why it's backfiring on them, because some of the feedback, some of the people, not all, but feedback that's been coming back from people who've attended the show is transportation is still an issue.
So they need to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to fix in that area.
Yes, it really is.
Yeah.
Transportation was never a plus for the Miami Boat Show when it was at the.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It wasn't,
oh, yeah,
no.
It was. Over at Miami Beach, it was much better.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Even if it was better, it was never a plus.
It was never a plus.
Boy, this is the greatest thing
ever. You could park in the parking garage and walk across the street
and have your vehicle broken into and have your t-shirt stolen out of it.
No, it wasn't a t-shirt.
It was a Columbia.
World of Boating fancy shirt.
Fishing shirt.
There's some homeless guy in Miami still walking around with my World of Boating jersey.
Or Madonna.
It fits great.
Yeah. Barry, you bastard. Barry the bastard. From now on, that's what we know him as.
Nope.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's always been an issue. But yeah, the new locations had some challenges on the parking stuff, but they've been navigating through that. Now you can park at Bayside, take the water ferry over.
But that's the time. The water ferry takes too long to get across. It can only carry so many people. You're stuck there waiting for it.
And if the weather's bad, which it wasn't, but if the weather's bad, if it's rough, I mean, it just takes longer. So what you've got, other than the transportation, which is going to continue to be an issue, because logistically, it's that venue is in such a location, you really can't do anything about it unless they decide to build floating parking garages. Somebody's probably already thought of that, because they might as well just fill in that whole cove that they've got there as it is.
Why don't they get the Seabees to come out and put in a good temporary bridge?
They just celebrated their anniversary, by the way.
Well, what they've done is they've set up parking shuttle locations.
I understand.
Just like they do at the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show.
At the Fort Lauderdale Show, they do have the parking garage there. They have parking.
You've got beachside parking. You can walk right across the street to the boat show.
For like $80 a car.
No, it's city parking.
Well,
on beachside.
Well, if you get one of those spaces,
yeah, you just got to get there at 4 a.m.
Exactly.
Dude, you watch
like,
the,
hello.
You
watch Patrick's the. Like, you watch, I get there at 4 o'clock in the morning. Why doesn't everybody get there?
I have to be there at 4 a.m. I have no choice. But you watch the sun come up. You watch the girls in bikinis walk down the beach. What is possibly
wrong
with that?
You're that creepy guy. Okay.
Wait a second. Which creepy guy are you?
He's the one who's shirtless.
I'm the one that shows up after like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, that's true.
But let me also point out
of his hotel.
Yeah. Other than transportation being an issue for people who have attended the show, they've also complained and check this out.
Because people never complain about boat
never.
Shows, but go on.
Too many people. It's such a...
It's too successful. That's the problem. This is the problem. You know what it's like? It's like the Brown Derby. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too busy.
Right.
It's the Disney effect.
See, they'll never be able to have a show that Patrick will be happy with.
No.
Ever.
No, not true.
Well, you think they will, Barry.
No, they really need to move it back to the convention center.
But they can't, Barry.
Not at this point.
Well, they couldn't because of the convention center for the past 2 years.
Well, they closed off one side to undergo the renovation. Then they closed off the other side to do the renovation. But my understanding was one of the big reasons was they lowered the height of the doors in the dock area to where you couldn't get the large boats and yachts inside anymore. And understand, when we would bring our 53 down there, we are putting that yacht together out in the parking lot before it could move inside, because you can't put it together once you're inside the convention center. So that's the other thing. Now you've got the city of Miami has now floated something like $40 million in bonds for this area where the boat show is now. There's really no going back at this point, but the attendance is such, and this is merely a complaint from people who've attended the show, is it is so full of people. It is ruining the boat show experience.
I hate these boat shows where all the stupid people come out. You know, can't we have a great boat show with like 4,000 people and call it a success?
You know, if I wanted to be interrupted, I got that guy over there.
Hello.
You're supposed to be on my side.
I appreciate the break, Bill.
But seriously, when you get to a point of saturation in attendance, you start to diminish the effect of the boat show. The experience that you want your consumer to have is less than what you want it to be. They can't get to the boats they want to get to. They can't see what they want to see.
Because there are too many boats and too many people.
Yeah.
Golly.
Business is too good.
Well, again, it's the Disney effect. Well, so what did Disney do? Disney raises its prices, and it raises its prices to the point where you start to take a certain segment of people who would like to go to Disney, can't afford to go to Disney.
Okay, so you want them to raise the rates of tickets?
Yeah, what they would do is you would have people that are really looking to purchase boats. They're going to buy the tickets to go there, while the ones that are just looking, just want to go for a day, may not.
Thank you, Barry.
Except,
you're welcome.
Except, hold the gosh darn phone.
Hold the dock line is what you're supposed to say.
I hate to bring this up, but doesn't this run slightly contrary to your longstanding argument that the problem with boating is that there's no good way to get into it? So let's make it harder for somebody to be an entry-level boater, to come out to see a boat show, to get to enjoy boats, to get to be with other people who are boaters. How about that, you son of a bitch?
Wow.
But if you're...
I have a solution for that, too.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Barry.
Okay, here you go. You go to the boat show. You spend your $30 or $40 for the ticket. You go there. You purchase a boat, and the company you purchase it from gives you a refund for the boat show ticket.
Hey, that's a great idea, Barry, but I can up you on that. And this is a very little known secret. This is like my way to get into the boat show, by going to the staging area and standing with all the rough looking guys bringing the boats in on the trailers, and then going up to the trailer and getting the little sticker you put on your shirt that says, you know, it's on display, and you can just walk in with a clipboard and then go and see everything you want to see. Okay.
So he's got a fix.
The other thing you can do, and this is the truth. And it won't work probably for every boat manufacturer, but if you get a hold of a boat manufacturer and you get to their sales department and, I'm interested in, model XYZ, and, are you guys going to be at the Miami Boat Show? Oh, you are? Are you going to have one of those boats on display? Oh, I'd really like to see. Listen, is there any chance that you could leave me a couple tickets at the will call box? And I guarantee you, 90% of the time, because it costs the company nothing to do it, they'll have tickets for you waiting.
All right, I don't know why we're even talking to these two morons, because the real answer is you put a camera around your neck, and you put a little thing in your hat that says your press, and you just wander wherever you want. Where's Rusty when we need him?
True.
Because that is how you get around everywhere.
Yeah, but you have to look like Rusty. You got to look like an 80-year-old guy with a gray mustache and a cane. Nobody's going to question you.
And that's how you could tell how well the boat show was, is by how many salespeople just took a vacation.
Hmm. Maybe.
But
I don't know.
I don't think that making it harder to get into the boat show is advantageous for anyone, okay, except for the people who are going to bitch about how many people are there and they're not buying boats anyway. They're just there to bitch.
Hold on!
Right.
I'm not saying make it harder. My original comment was, based on feedback that I've read, there are people who have attended the show that now feel that there are too many people attending and it is diminishing the experience and they're not being able, in the time that they go, to see what they want to see, get on the boats that they want to get onto. And that, they're a victim of their own success. It's a great thing that they've increased attendance, but now you're in such a confined space.
Wasn't there a point in time when the Miami Boat Show claimed to be the largest in-water boat show?
No, that was Fort Lauderdale.
But what if you want to be the largest, if you want to be the biggest, you can't say, yeah, but we'd rather people didn't show.
Well, you can't be the biggest if you're held into a half-mile square area and you pack it with 500,000 people.
Well, it looks pretty cool, though.
It sure
especially
does.
For those
that's
drone
good
shots
helicopter.
They got.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
man,
amazing.
Awesome. I say good job, boys.
We could always dredge and build Key Biscayne bigger.
No.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department, led by his ex-girlfriend, and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info, whether you're into diving or not. See for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Dude, you were right, Carmen. Your Uncle Roy has a sweet boat.
Yeah, and I know what they say. Money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Bill the engineer, Barry the boater. So, I don't know, the Miami International Boat Show, I think, was a huge success, and we'll just leave it at that and move on to other stuff.
I did not say it wasn't.
Okay, you just said you don't believe anybody about the numbers.
I just said they're a victim of their own success. That's
he
my
also said
statement.
That.
I think they're just successful, period.
You know who also is successful?
Me?
This is what professional radio people call a segue, just
okay.
So you know.
All right.
Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett?
Jimmy Buffett is
Captain
successful.
Captain Patrick's favorite artist.
Okay. The problem with everything. The problem with everything for Captain Patrick is Captain Patrick doesn't like anyone who
is a success.
Now you just stop there.
Who becomes?
That's right. There
yes,
you go.
There it is.
Period.
That's a good point. I don't. When people that don't really understand the motivation behind it accept it as being a good thing, that's when Captain Patrick starts running. It starts running afoul of Captain Patrick's delicate sensibilities. Hmm. So. My experience with Captain Patrick throughout the years has always been that Captain Patrick likes everything that is obscure, and once the obscurity starts wearing off and it starts making its way into the mainstream, he's like, I don't know. And Jimmy Buffett is coming under some fire from a journalist, and we'll call her a journalist for no apparent reason, okay. Taffy Brodesser-Arner.
All right, let me stop you there, though. Let me make it clear before you go any further, I never liked Jimmy Buffett.
Okay, that's...
Then or now.
Yes. So this is the thing. Jimmy Buffett has a show, which right now is testing. It's having test audiences
previews on
Broadway.
Right.
And her argument is that Jimmy Buffett does not live the Jimmy Buffett lifestyle. If your lifestyle... Hold on, because I got bad news for you,
yeah,
Slick.
Exactly.
So if your lifestyle is that you are a, I have no money, I bum around on the beach guy... And you create that as a brand, and you sell millions of records. I'm sorry. You will not continue to be an I have no money, I'm bumming around the beach guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not a thing. That is kind of the aura that I think Neil Watson wants to put off. You know, I'm just a diver man, nothing else, just a diver. But he's a businessman.
Of course.
And Jimmy Buffett is a businessman.
Wait,
else is a businessman?
Yeah.
You know who isn't just... You know, the epitome of working class man.
Don't even.
The guy who's
Don't
never
even.
Had a job.
Don't do
Bruce
it.
Springsteen.
Who
Curse
just
you.
Had
heresy.
A long run on Broadway, by the way.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen is the mouthpiece of the working class. He understands the working class, not because he is the working class, but because he has lived with them his whole life.
By the way, Jimmy did you ever Buffett, see how much he was charging for those tickets?
Wow!
I did.
And worth every dollar.
Wrong! Sorry. The boss is, he was charging way
neither
too much.
Jimmy Buffett nor Bruce Springsteen are the character which they represent on stage. Neither
anymore.
One of them are.
Well,
anymore.
First of all, wait, when you bring up that Jimmy Buffett projects this lifestyle of having no money,
yes.
I don't know if that's actually accurate. I don't know if his songs, he talks about not having no money. He just talks about running around on the beach and living the...
If your life is life. That you live on the beach and you don't do anything for work, you have no money.
Well, I...
No. Let's just do some math here. Barry.
Yes.
Barry, you're an accountant by trade.
Oh, I am?
Or reputation.
Only on Monday through Friday. Go
do
ahead.
You know a lot of people, Barry, that have no... external source of income, and they didn't marry into wealth or be born into wealth, who have money?
No.
Okay, there it is.
Well, no,
that's
I'm just
math.
Saying he doesn't. I'm just saying he doesn't necessarily sing about not having any money. He just sings about the lifestyle of being on a boat, being out at the beach, and hanging out fishing, right.
and not
and
working.
All that kind of stuff.
Okay, and let me.
Well, when he started out, he didn't have money. When he was first
true.
Starting out in the Keys, he was
right.
He was like all the other singers out there. They make
on
it
a
week
flip
by week.
Flop.
Right. Well, because he didn't have flip flops, so he stepped on a pop top.
Got infected, had his foot amputated.
Exactly.
Replaced with a bionic substitute.
No, it was
peg leg Buffett, they call
it. Peg leg, right. It was a pirate thing.
Let me say this about Mr. Buffett. Jimmy Buffett, the actual person, I don't know, and I don't dislike Jimmy Buffett, the man.
Oh, you are a liar.
No,
you hate him.
No, he doesn't know him,
vengeance.
So he doesn't dislike
the,
him.
The persona and what he represents... I don't enjoy because I work in the industry that he sometimes represents and sings about. And I don't know anybody who is working in a marina or in a boatyard.
Because nobody that works lives that lifestyle.
Underneath a boat, pressure washing a hull bottom of barnacles that's going, waste it away again, a margarita bill. Ooh, get your barnacle. Brr! You know, it's not happening. It's hard work.
Now, to be fair.
Yeah.
The only parts of Point Break that Captain Patrick likes are the parts where they're punching each other. That's the only parts.
No, no, no. When Keanu Reeves points his Beretta up in the air and fires off all nine shots in frustration as Brody runs away. That's the part I like.
Okay.
See, the part you're missing about Buffett, though,
and the surfing,
is the margarita effect. And because Patrick doesn't drink. If he drank the margaritas, he'd be in a much different frame of mind when he heard a Jimmy Buffett song. He'd go, oh, I get it.
So you have to be drunk to enjoy Buffett.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. My argument.
I really think that is true.
It makes music better.
I enjoyed them.
Yeah. Hey, and it makes the world of boating better.
You know what? Next time you listen,
yes,
be drunk.
Yeah, drink a lot. We'll sound way better. And on that note, we'll end it till next time. Remember, whether it is sail or motor,
life is better
when you're a boater.
When you're drunker?
No?
Yeah, both. Same boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab.
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.